right now, once again, it's time we check in with our good friends at the Sharon Hospital. Dr. Mark Herko has been joining us every couple of weeks, and we welcome Dr. Herko once again this morning. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you today? Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday. Can't complain. You know, Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts, and New Jersey, all on the lower end of the curve, while we see other states who have not done what we have done, the way we've done it, just skyrocketing. And let me first ask you before we get to that, how are things going at the hospital? Things have calmed down pretty much?
It's calmed down. We're running around 85% of capacity right now, and we've been slowly increasing things in really controlled incremental fashions just to ensure that we're not skipping any steps or having any processes that may impede or hurt any of the patients and or the employees.
I'm glad you mentioned that because my doctor called and reminded me. I was issued he wanted me to get a blood test back in the middle of March, mm-hmm. right before everything blew up. And of course, that wasn't done. But now, they sent the request for the blood test to the hospital, and I will call the hospital this morning, make sure they got the orders and scheduled my time to come in. I mentioned this just so people who have tests like that coming up and other tests, that's the way it's going to be done now on you. Even though you're opened up, you still have a very tight grip on security.
Oh, we do. I mean, we have to be careful. We're a small facility, limited number of employees compared to other larger facilities. So if anybody comes in undiagnosed and people are exposed, I mean, we could be devastated here. So that's why it's so important that when you do have outpatient testing that needs to be done, everything has to be done by appointment. We have centralized scheduling. We have a whole process to go through. And even when you show up, You'll see these remote temperature sensors that we have now in the hospital that'll measure your temperature. You'll be asked questions, and we are really pushing to make sure that all visitors and patients come in with masks too.
You know, it's really it's really interesting that I want to harp on the masks, and I've been harping on this for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to keep on harping it. If you look at the results. When New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Jersey all got together and realized that they had a problem on their hands, the reason we're down in cases, quite simply, probably a big part of that reason is the fact, well, it's public awareness, but also masks and social distancing. I mean, that's the thing. It's not going to cure this virus, but that's the thing that really seems to knock it down and slows, and it doesn't stop it completely, but it slows the spread to like a trickle.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, this thing is everywhere, and it's going to be everywhere until we ever, and hopefully if we ever develop a vaccine. So the only way to keep it under relative control in the environment is to do those things. And then the first thing that people mentioned the day this came out, washing your hands. Those three things, along with the social distancing, wearing masks, have proven hands down to be the thing to keep things under control.
Now, you still must be worried in the back of your mind when you see what's happening elsewhere in the country. But it appears Connecticut and New York have also changed the way that they are opening up. They've really slowed the process and are not going to do some things that they had planned. But still in the back of your mind, you must look at Florida and all these other states where this is really once again raging out of control.
Sure. Once you completely open without any controls, you've seen everything explode. And it would be naive to think that wouldn't happen here again. So, because the virus is still here. So the thing that we're looking for is actually people from outside states actually coming in and causing reinfection and or exposure. Who would have thought the tables have been turned? But it's something that, that has been proven epidemiologically in the past, and we really have to be careful as we do this.
Now, there's been a problem the past couple of weekends, and I want to get your medical opinion on this. The Appalachian Trail has reopened its northern portion, but in Connecticut and Massachusetts and New York, there's a red on the map, which means that there's a quarantine, which means that Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts do not want, if you're going to come in from another state, you have to self-quarantine for 14 days. So the trail's meant to be closed. It's not. I mean, people are lined up, and the weekend the cars are going crazy. And at Great Falls, people are coming into the area, and they're actually risking their lives by sitting in the Great Falls. But, you know, people seem to think that because they're outside, yes, there is a lesser chance. Tell me if I'm wrong. There is a lesser chance of you contracting the virus if you're outside. But if you're outside in your crowd, and especially if you're around water, I mean, then it all changes.
The data has shown, hands down, that a prolonged exposure in a enclosed environment has led to increased infection rates. So I wish I could say the opposite, but I can't in regard to no one has done the study to show that the outside is less. But the data has shown that the opposite is true, that if you are in enclosed spaces for prolonged periods of time, you can lead to serious trouble and virus spread. So yes, outside seems to be relatively safe, but no one has done that study, hands down, to prove exactly how the circulation is occurring out there, because you're still seeing people in the southern states that have been outside at these swim parties and stuff like that, that, you know, there'll be just a little bit of congregating, but just that little bit of congregating, you've seen chaos occur, and that's what could be happening or what the fear is in a lot of the parks where people are hiking. I mean, my wife and I hiked with our kids a few weeks ago, and we wear our masks around our necks, you know, and then right when we see or hear anybody coming in any direction, we go ahead and put the mask back on. So, I mean, that's what we've done. Now, I can't say that that's following everything we need to do, but actually that seems to be, you know, just by wearing the mask when you are in contact with people you don't know seems to be helping. And that's what's helping in restaurants, too.
You know, that's the problem with what we see at Great Falls with the pictures that have been sent in, is people are frolicking. First of all, it's dangerous. You can drown. That's an extremely dangerous area, and it's not meant for swimming and setting up tents and stuff. But people are doing all this. There might be 20, 30, 40 people in a cluster, and none of them have masks on. It's just, you know, it is a shocking thing because it is just so apparent. You don't have to be a scientist or a genius to see that the places that do social distancing and have masks are doing far better than the places that don't.
Well, again, I've said it a couple times before, freedom is responsibility, not freedom to do whatever you want. That is... That's the thing that people take wrong. And I kind of got on my brothers and sisters who live in Ohio, and they were giving me heck about, oh, look, it's coming back. You guys don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, I said, look, you know, we're at the point where we have to start you know, being responsible for ourselves and to ourselves. And if we don't do that, particularly with you know, following the standards that have been brought out, trouble can occur. They're giving me heck. So I'm the doctor of the family, so I'm always being tested, and this is one of the things I'm being tested on, because you know they see a lot of other facts out there or stuff on the internet, and you know they want to hear from me, but they're not happy with some of the answers I have to give them. So, and that's kind of what everybody's seeing right now.
Yeah. We've got about a minute left or so. Anything else that you want to get in that I haven't touched about what's going on at the hospital?
I mean, don't delay your routine health care. Again, our emergency department is open, and we're running I think the other day we hit 86% of normal. So that's working, and we have yet to have an exposure within the hospital itself, so therefore it's safe. You know, everybody is responding to the changing environment, and we really appreciate the patients and family members for understanding that. We also started visitation. We have visitation of inpatients. We're allowed one visitor per day for 2 hours at a time. We're not allowing that in the emergency room or our senior behavioral issue or unit yet. But things are coming along. And just know that we're here, and if you have any questions, you know, call for our services, the hotline that they've shown online. I don't know if I can give that number. But feel free to ask questions and or come into the facility with reduced fear that you're going to catch the COVID virus.
All right, Mark, we'll speak with you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for these updates, and keep safe and be careful hiking.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And you too. Right. Enjoy your summer.
All right, okay. Take care, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Mark Hercock from the Sharon Hospital here this morning on Robin Hood Radio.